Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to
We Say Things That Don't Mean Anything,
episode 126. Keep going.
Oh.
Don't let me stop you.
Somewhere. I lagged a bit. I was too late for the song.
Okay. Suns fan here with Cinderin. Greetings. Your cup looks huge as always. Your stein, as you call it.
Yes.
We are twins today, both wearing We Say Things shirts that you guys cannot buy.
Yes, but I was just going to say, this is what you do when you're trying to sell merch. This is not available.
We're going to make them want it so bad that when it comes out, it's going to sell out immediately, okay? We have had people ask about them, and the real reason that we're not doing it yet is because we're very lazy, and I don't... first of all, Cinder's not going to do jack shit. We've already established that. He shows up, and that's
probably
it.
Probably true.
And then for me, it's, you know, it's just too much work at this point, so...
I have offered to help you more, and you say no. Yeah, then you can't... blame me for it after.
Well, when that's, you know, somebody is going to screw things up royally, you know, it's in the best interest of the podcast.
But that is honestly, that is a good, like, that's a good life hack right there. If you don't do anything, you can't screw it up.
That's true. Yeah, I've lived by that a few times.
Worth thinking about. Food for thought.
So before we go to the Patreon shoutouts, let's talk. Okay, let's do the Patreon shoutouts first. Let's just go in order. You take the first half, Cinderin.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to do them really slowly or really fast today?
When do we do them really slowly?
I don't know. I think it's a terrible idea, so we'll do them fast. Okay.
All right.
Thank you to... My name is not Coleman Shalitsky. Send how much for you to cast one of my stupid, I mean awesome pubs? I don't know. Fuck.
Give him a number.
Fifth Ack. Games for Falling Asleep, Zaddy Sova, Flozy B. Oh, this is all our rappers come up earlier. Disco Far MD, Vincent Darksey, hashtag Simp for Marcy and her pocket BKB. That got nerfed. Semper Pi, Hakuna Matata, the guy in the chair, Commander Donut. I developed Stockholm Syndrome, so please come capture me again, Suns fan. Brett Sheeran says there's a 1.002% chance for Suns and Sin to get every SAP question wrong 8 weeks in a row. They did the math channel. 1%.
It happened.
1%. Chakar. Warsaw, Washington. I think spell Washington correctly. The Mega Pope. Who is your third favorite talent, TI, in New Zealand? Oh, I actually did more than half, I think. Go.
Zan Xavier. Nate Thicko 01 Hamscroats. Bacon. Biting my dad's ass like a wolf bited Tiny with Echo Saber until he wears a Triple H costume for Halloween. Do you know what that reference is, Cinderin? Triple H? That's a wrestler. That's the only, like, one of the few that I know. Shark TM. Novi Panda. Dop. Nothing to see here. Underscore Man. Ben Broomhead hates how they remove the button to add all your loading screens to the shuffle 5 years ago and it's still gone. Pitch Black, Wooden Aftertaste, Duntalk, Anonymous, now buying my friendship with Cinderin for $30.
Yes.
Peter, the patent for the fire hydrant was lost in a fire, thus the true inventor of the hydrant remains a mystery, Niebling. And Perkadurk initiation, running into other We Say Things patrons in pubs is fun. Thank you, friends. We appreciate that. Okay.
The patent for the fire hydrant was lost in a fire.
Yeah. I wonder if that's
how
true.
Do they know that?
Well, what do you mean, how do they know that? There's a record of it being lost.
Well, wouldn't the... So I guess the inventor died with it or what? Or he would have just, you know, made it again.
Yeah, he probably died. He probably died in the same fire.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So let's quickly get this out of the way. Time zone changes are about... EU has changed times. NA has not, but it will in a week. The way that this affects the podcast, and we've gone over this before, but because I live in Arizona, it's very weird for me specifically, because Half the year, I am PST. I align myself with California. And in a week, I will, instead of staying the same time zone and just shifting, my clocks don't change. But as a result, the time zone does change to be MST, which aligns with like Colorado. So that means the podcast will continue to be at 10:30 CET or CEST, whichever the active one is.
CET. And S is for summer. It's not summer.
Other than this week, the podcast will be at 1:30 PST or PDT, whichever the fuck it is. But it'll be 2:30 for me because, again, the time zone shifts and it gets very weird. Now, having said that, I am glad that Arizona doesn't do time zone shifts because changing our clock sounds miserable. Sounds absolutely miserable. And I think they're going to get rid of that at some point. So, yeah. All right, let's get started with this week's
time zone talk we've ever had on the podcast.
That's because
we generally get really into really heated arguments and you lose your shit because I don't understand how it works.
Last time we did this, in your state, the reason I got angry is because you and chat that I was following with live were calling me an idiot the whole time because I didn't understand time zones. And it turns out they're the ones and you were the one that didn't understand time zones because Arizona is very unique. There's only a few
places. We just had a different interpretation of time than you do. I still think Chad and I were right.
Yeah, okay. Pandering as always, Cinderin. All right, let's get started with the episode officially. Of course, the day after our last podcast, Marcy and Patch came out.
Yes.
Which, you know, thank you, Val, for that. But at the very least, we get to talk about her now and we get, you know, basically a week's worth. I played the shit ton of her. I don't know about you.
I played some games.
How do you want to do this? I really like talking about new heroes. I want to talk about like the concept, the balance level, the spells specifically, ags and shards that we think would be cool to add on to her, etc. How do you want to go about this? In what order?
I think we should talk about on release first.
Okay. Do you want to go through like
each skill? The fuck out of that.
Or are we assuming everybody knows the skills by now?
We could just quickly go over them, like in a simple manner. So Marcy has four spells. She has a spell that flings an enemy behind herself and stuns in an AoE. Then she has an ability where she jumps. Huh?
Horn toss.
Yeah. Then she has a spell where she jumps on an ally or an enemy, and then she uses them as a springboard to jump in a direction, which
King
is vector targeted.
Yeah.
If you jump on an ally, they get 35% move speed for 5 seconds. Then she has a spell that gives herself and up to one ally. You can also only self-cast it if you can't find an ally in range. You give them bonus damage and lifesteal for 6 seconds.
Legion.
And then you have an ulti which turns you into Son Goku for 16 seconds.
Ursa, where
you
just, right.
Just hit really fast, do a shitload of damage, and apply a pulsing slow on the final attack of your combo, which has 3, 4, 5 strikes based on level. And after you've completed your strikes, you have to wait 1.5 seconds to strike again. So you basically disarm yourself in between these combos, but you hit so insanely fast for full attack damage every hit.
Yeah.
Very, very strong.
Okay, so let's talk about what we think of the concept first before we get into the balance, okay? There was a lot of people complaining. I don't know if they're actually real complaints. So I think of myself as an amateur hero designer. I know that's kind of stupid to say, but I've had a lot of practice designing heroes over the last, it's been like 12 years I've been doing it, you know, from just a hobby standpoint. I'm not saying I'm an expert by any means, but I definitely know more than the average person. I think the whole idea of comparing spell, like, being against an idea because it's similar to another and is inherently not correct, in my opinion. Does that make sense? Like, yep. Saying the Q is like Horn Toss is a bit of, I mean, obviously all of them are similar to some degree as something else. But if you're trying, and this is the thing that I noticed when we would go through like a lot of these really unique hero ideas that people would submit to us when we did like these community hero projects, they would try to make their heroes so unique so nothing can be comparable to anything else in Dota. And you end up becoming too convoluted, right? Like, in my opinion, Oracle, Earth Spirit, heroes like this that are just so inherently unique, when they first come out, they're busted or terrible or it's just not fun in some capacity. I think they're bad design. And over time, they're ironed out to become okay, right? So something like this, I actually like the concept a lot. It's a strength. I mean, I'm biased in the fact that it's a strength hero. You can play it as carry. Has some use in support as well, which we've, you know, we'll talk about what position we think is correct or whatever for now. But design-wise, I like it a lot. Actually, it plays really well. It feels like a Han hero. Some would say League. I don't see that as a necessarily bad thing. What do you think?
I think so. First of all, I don't mind the concept either. I don't think it's one of the best, to be honest, that they've come out with. I think other recently released heroes, I was really a big fan of Mars, because I think hero designs that are inherently really easy to understand but have a very high skill ceiling are very cool. I guess her spells aren't that complicated either. It's not like Earth Spirit, for example, whose spell combos and spells in general are very complicated, but I still think so actually this is somewhere in between those two. So that's pretty good. Like, she's not very hard to understand, but also not like as simple as Mars. On release, the hero was insanely broken. Just did way too much damage. Her mana costs were too low.
During this time, I played her 6 games, went 5-1. No exaggeration, averaged 22 kills.
Yeah. It was awesome. Ridiculous.
Awesome shit.
I think it's fine. It seems clear with the design that they're trying to make the hero flexible from the get-go, which I think is okay. I also think it would be fine if it wasn't, because it's been a long time since we've had a true carry, and that's what a lot of people were really hoping for. Like, when is the last time we got a true Agi carry, for example, come out?
Monkey
it's been a
King.
Really long time.
Is this it?
He's even debatable, because he's also a support, right?
He became support later,
but I guess on release,
right?
He was definitely intended to be a carry. But he plays, like, every role, basically. Yeah. Marcia and him are actually, you know, relatively good comparisons. They're, like, about mobility, they have a stun, they have a lot of damage, and they can be played support and core. So, and they have their own ability that grants them lifesteal, too.
So wow. What a similarity.
Well, I mean, it's probably the single hero that she's most similar to in the game, to be honest.
No,
if you had to pick one.
No, I agree.
So, yeah, what about it aside from that? I think the spell design I like the most is probably the jump. I think it's really cool. First of all, it's another vector targeted ability, which we both like. I think it's cool to have an ability that is 100% dependent on positioning of something else. It's not like Blink, which a lot of people compare it to. Because like, oh, she's so hard to kill because she can always just get away. But, you know, it obviously depends on where things are around her. This spell is really weak in specific parts of the map and specific types of fights. Because even if you can jump on someone, if you're in an area where you can't get to a high ground or get enough distance with the jump because the enemy hero that you're jumping from is too close to you, it's not really an escape. Whole idea that you can jump on an ally and kind of go in as like a tag team is really cool, I think.
Let's just talk about each spell. I think that's probably a good way to go down. So let's continue with that. First of all, this is one of the coolest names as well, because it's an NBA thing, Sindarin.
Rebound.
Great name for a spell. I can't wait to cast that personally. But yeah, you cast it.
The best spell name is the first one, though.
Dispose?
It's called Dispose. It sounds like you're taking out the trash when you toss your opponent. Yeah. I fucking love that name. I think it's so funny. It's like the only time I ever use dispose as a word is to dispose of trash.
But I agree. Rebound has a lot of potential. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. It's fun to use. Vector targeting is always fun in general. I found it harder to use than other vector targeting because, like you said, you rely on other units. And just becoming familiar with the range that's needed initially to jump on it can be a bit... I mean, it took me a while to get used to it. It's gotten to an okay spot after like 10 games or so. But there's a ton of potential. The fact that you can buff your ally for movement speed is nice. It's just a good mobility spell overall. So...
It definitely has its moments of frustration in the learning curve where you cast the spell and you target somewhere, and then because the unit you're targeting is out of range initially and then moves somewhere else, then when you jump on them, you don't end up where you targeted because it's too far away, or your jump doesn't go off at all. So But that's a player problem, right? And you just need to get good at that point.
Yes, that's actually true.
But so okay. It's not like the spell is bugged, but what I'm thinking is there could be a quality of life change where if you try to cast it and you're out of range, it just, let's say you're targeting an enemy and you want to jump somewhere and you're too far and they move, then when you get in range, it doesn't cast at all until you cast it again. You know what I mean? So that you actually end up where you select, but if you're not in range, you don't cast it at all.
But then that's not like any other spell then, right? Wouldn't
I'm trying to think if there's something similar to that.
I was thinking that when you initially select the first unit, the highlighter should be red if it's out of range initially.
Yeah, something
and
like that.
It can still continue walking towards it, but yeah, right now it's just a game of feel, essentially, which that's the biggest
frustration.
Which is also
fine. I mean, it's a skill then, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely takes skill.
Need to figure it out.
Go ahead.
Yeah, dispose, pretty straightforward. You take an enemy, toss it behind you, and stun it in an AoE. It has really short cast range, so you need to get very close, but you can obviously get close to them with rebound. I find this spell conceptually insanely powerful in lane, in particular, because in lane, heroes are generally forced to be within a contained space, and Marcy has the most insane mobility out of most heroes in lane with rebound, so whether you play support or core, the constant threat of this spell in lane is really powerful, but did get nerfed in terms of stun duration. But I honestly, in many ways, this is her most powerful spell, actually. I know a lot of people will point to the ult, but we'll get to that after it got nerfed. No, Dispose is really strong.
Yeah, I think it's... Well, we'll get to the ult. I do agree, though. Dispose is in contention for possibly being the strongest aspect of the hero just because of the relocation. I mean, it's a stun, too. So Horn Toss, you pick them up, right? Mm-hmm. It's a group of people, so it's obviously different. And you ended up landing them in like behind you, and it's a small stun for that group of people initially. This one is a stun on the location behind you and to the unit you've tossed, which that's... I thought that might be a change they could make if they were going to nerf it, is that the target you're tossing doesn't get stunned or something like that. But then maybe it's not nearly as good. I don't know.
Then it's a lot weaker, but then you could give it something else, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
But the range is very small. But and the fact that you can use it on teammates to save them as well is pretty strong. The range is very low, which if you're playing support, which... How often have you seen this hero's support? Because I think it's like a pretty low percentage.
Quite a few games.
To, like
it just
like
gets played everywhere.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Mostly I've seen three as the most common.
Yeah.
But like Aether Lens, if you pick that up, then Dispose becomes insane. The range is ridiculous. And the save becomes like truly insane. People memed about the fact that you can throw people out of Chronosphere. Of course, ignoring the fact that there's a couple other heroes that do the exact same thing already. So it's like, okay, whatever. Overall, very strong skill. And then the third ability, Sidekick, is the one that you target a hero or yourself, and it'll end up giving it to you and somebody near you. A buff of 50% lifesteal and a bonus damage of 65 at the highest level, which maybe that... I can't remember if these were nerfed at this thing I'm looking at.
It's the same values. So this spell is, I think, the potential of the hero in competitive Dota, this is probably the strongest part for that, because there's some specific strategies that you can run with the spell that would be incredible, right? You think about how heroes itemize and how they scale, and you now pick a hero, whether you play it support or core, and you give that hero every 12 seconds, you give them 6 seconds of basically half a satanic, right? The lifesteal might be less than half of a satanic, but you also give them 65 damage on top. So then the lifesteal is obviously stronger than just the 50% because you gave them more damage. And if they have critical strike or if they have really high attack speed, this skill is insane. I think, first of all, I still think it's too cheap. Like the mana cost is just too low on this ability. It's insane. It's like 30 mana on level 4. I don't know. I'm still like in the phase of figuring out what I think is the... Because like when I talk about this dispose and I say it's like the most critical spell for the hero, it really depends on the strategy, which I think is a good sign, right? There's going to be some games where you're like, wow, Sidekick is so broken. And then there's going to be other games where you're like, Dispose is insane, you know? And if it's not like straightforward, what's her best spell, depending on the game, I think that's great. It's like some games with Lion, Hex is just the shit because you're playing against hypermobile heroes. And then in other games, maybe just the burst is more valuable because you're playing against squishy heroes. So, yeah. I think that part is good because for quite some heroes, I think you've probably also noticed this in your games, there's not like a go-to designated skill build on this hero, right?
Right.
People don't always skill the same. Sometimes people go 1-1-4. Sometimes they max rebound. I don't think I've seen much dispose max, though, but I've seen like some 2-4-1 builds. And I like 1-1-4 when it's played support. I find that very strong.
Really? Support? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the max of the Q yet, personally, but Sidekick definitely very strong. And I agree, it's a little bit too cheap, especially with, I don't know what people are normally taking, but the 10 talent that gives you 2 mana regen seems insanely good. Like, I was surprised that one was not nerfed at all, because it feels like I never run out of mana in the hero. I'm not buying any mana regen, pretty much.
Yeah, you combine that with Sidekick costing 30, then that spell is essentially free.
It's a combination of all that plus the hero just feels, it feels like the one item that you absolutely cannot not buy is Armlet. Like, if you're playing core, that is. Armlet just feels like it's made for this hero. So yeah, that's a really good spell. And then the ultimate, which is the most interesting one to talk about, Unleash. First of all, these names are amazing. Unleash. Imagine that being cast in a team fight, Syndern. Imagine it with a Diffusal Blade pickup. Can you just think of it? The call right now. He unleashes the inhibit. Can you?
Oh,
that would be good. So when activated, it basically buffs Marcy, like you said, gives her a little dispel action, and then she just attacks really fast. But then with each combo that she's done with, has to take a little bit of a break. But each time you
she
get
gets
the full 15% combo,
move speed as well for 16
yeah, that's
seconds.
True. So 15% move important. Speed. Each completed combo deals a pulse damage and slow. I thought that was going to be the thing they nerfed, but it's not. So my issue with this spell, first of all, it feels amazing, obviously, when you're playing at core. I think that this is too strong still because of the fact that when you're support, it doesn't feel like you are support hero when this is on. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm surprised that this one is the one that has not, again, they nerfed it a bit with the time that you have to stay disarmed, but the fact that you can be a position fucking 5 Marcy and people have to worry about your right click a lot, they cannot ignore you, is kind of incredible. That's the one thing I would expect this to get nerfed going forward, but we'll see.
So on release, the disarm time in between combos was 1.5, and the duration of the ult was 18 instead of 16. So it's been nerfed quite a lot. Especially the disarm time is a way bigger nerf than the total duration. But yeah, I agree. I still think the skill is insane. And obviously, you just talked about it from the support point of view. I think from a core point of view, the fact that you get level 12 relatively quickly, this skill just does so insanely much damage. Like, if you think about Ursa and how Overpower works, Overpower has an inherently, you know, decent cooldown. If you're prepared for a fight really well, you can enter with a pre-cast overpower, and then you can cast a second one during the fight, and then that's kind of it, you know? Then you need to wait for a while for the next one.
Mm.
With Marcy, you have overpower for 16 seconds. With bonus move speed, more damage, except you take out the Fury Swipes component, but you get an AoE pulse, so for a lot of teamfight situations, it will be better. You slow in an AoE, that's
an
bigger
earth
than Earth Shock.
Right? It's basically
but it's a much bigger
shock.
AoE, right?
Yeah.
And if effectively, if this hero is in play in a fight, whether it's core or support, it is not a hero you can ignore. Which, you know, that isn't inherently an issue, because there's other heroes like that. But I guess a good way of talking about this is like the opportunity cost, right? Like, it's just, it's zero, right? And the synergy between this and your lifesteal skill is obviously incredible. That's why Armlet is so good on this hero, is that you pop your armlet and you go into the fight, and if you start taking damage, you can just pop your sidekick, and if you get one unleash combo off, you heal insane amounts.
Yeah.
You get on in all these attacks so fast and during
the if you're initiating kick. With like, I mean, Basher's pretty common in this hero as well. You jump in with your W, obviously have your ult and the lifesteal component activated already, and then once you're done with the first wave of hits, you dispose to get that stun. That basically takes you around the same amount of time that you're disarmed anyway, so you can get another free combo off. This is assuming that you have BKB. Somebody was telling me in chat that Cap made a comment about this, and I think this is a really good point, that when a hero can buy BKB as their first, you know, main item after armlet, that's too strong when that's like literally every game. If you can get
I found myself
that.
Playing my first game of Marcy, I played 5. I went phase BKB and I was a carry. As a 5, I went BKB first item. Because I was like, if I get this item, I'm just a god. You know, if they don't have BKB piercing stuns, I can win a team fight with 4k net worth.
So how would you...
I still think largely that's the case. And the I like the idea of the skill. I just still think the numbers are just off. Like the duration, 16 seconds, is still way too long, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I would rather have this be... like even down to something like 10 or 12 and then have it feel impactful in that duration. But then it also makes it more counterable for enemies, right? Like currently against Marcy, you can't, like, it's not like you can try to disable her out and then her ulti expires. You literally have to kill her. I guess the only counter is to kill.
Yeah, I mean,
you're unlikely to escape.
There are some good counters, right? Like Bloodseekers of the World. I think Pango's really good against her with the constant disarm. Obviously Doom deletes every hero in the game. But having said that, it does feel like you don't even need, you just need survivability, which she's already tanky to begin with. Yeah. And her ult just does all the damage for you. Now, the thing I'm worried about, since this is supposed to be a carry, based on the nerfs that they've instituted this hero, which are, there was one nerf to the ult, but mostly to the other skills at this point and the talents. They want this. It feels to me that they want this to be a carry more than anything else. Would you agree with that sentiment?
They nerf the support aspects more. I agree
with
that.
So how can they nerf Unleash and not make her a support? Because her other abilities are still, even though if they were nerfed, they're still really good as support in the right hands. I think the first thing I would do is the pulse damage that is done with the ult should be lowered dramatically. That would be the first thing I would see how that would feel. Because I think that's a bigger deal than people think. Because the AoE, I'm fine with the slow. It's just the AoE damage is too much because you're constantly hitting it when you have BKB. I'm okay with the idea of, you know, once you have all these items, deleting heroes, that's fine with me. You know, like you get a BKB, you get Basher, you get a plus one item, Daedalus or something like that. With your ultimate activate, you could delete any hero in the game. I think I'm okay with that aspect of a carry type.
Why does the pulse need to slow?
I mean, it doesn't have to, I guess.
I'm just thinking from a fairness standpoint in the spell, right? You already have 15% move speed inherently for the entire duration of this. Maybe it's too bad if it doesn't slow. Like, it's entirely possible. And then it's like, oh, wow, you can just gap her all the time. You can get any slow on her, and then you can run away. And this is her way of staying on target. Even if she gets slowed, she can still hit something. A counter-argument to that would be, well, you have a literal gap-close spell. So if you run in with Unleash and you get slowed, you can still jump with Rebound. But obviously, it means you need to make the choice of, do I Rebound to enter the fight? Or do I enter the fight by running in and having allies that set me up with stuns and slows so I can rebound to chase? I think that would be interesting if it feels like you have to choose what kind of fight it is when you approach. Or that you itemize for it. You buy Blink Dagger. Then you have both, as an example. I played against, I think it was DY the other day as a 4. And his item build was actually really interesting. He went phase, Yule's, Blink Bash as a support.
As support.
Yes. So he literally would just engage for his team. He would blink in and immediately dispose someone, cast ult and fight. And when he started getting targeted, he would Yule and then he could rebound out. And he had the Basher then ultimately just to, you know, smash people when he ults.
Right.
I thought that was a really interesting take on the hero to play it like that.
I mean, are you, more of a supportive mindset, right?
Do you like that idea of having a support that, like, obviously the first three skills, you can see where the support comes from, but having an ult like this that's still that effective with no items, theoretically, well, not theoretically, in practice as well. Do you like the idea of that being on a quote-unquote support hero? Like, do you want a support hero to go basher? Like, is that an inherent issue with you? Or do you like the idea that that's actually something that supports can go for now? It's not just pigeonholed for carries.
Right. I think it's cool that itemization for this hero in that role is out of the ordinary, but that you can also go for the ordinary. I don't personally have a problem with that. I'm not like, oh, it's a support, therefore it should not ever buy damage items, or it should not ever buy carry-based items. I think it's cool when supports can do that. Like, we've seen some really creative support Monkey King builds where they would go like Gleipnir or Orchid. I think that's good. So her buying Basher as a support with this as the ult, I think is completely fine. It's more about whether the spell inherently in itself is fair. And then if it gets tweaked and it's still fair and it still gives a lot of attack speed, you'd probably still see a support Marcy by it as an item by Basher.
Or what,
like,
about
just looking at this and looking at the numbers, I think my go-to nerf right now for this would probably be to remove the attack speed slow. Like, honestly, I don't think this hero should get that additional advantage when it goes in and just unleashes and just smashes someone, that they also lose their attack speed so they can't really fight back. It's hard enough because of how overpoweringly strong she is for those 16 seconds. So I'm okay with the move speed slow. I think there's some logic there with, you know, staying on target, and maybe it's too weak if you can't keep finding heroes to hit with your ults. So move speed pulse is okay. But yeah, the attack speed slow, I think there's been other spells in the history of the game that had attack speed slow and then it was removed, right? I'm trying to think of what it was. But I think there was one patch
where everything was that slowed in general was made a movement speed and attack speed, right? Or a lot of them, at least. There was like this one big patch.
A lot of it got reworked again.
A lot of it eventually, like, slowly. Yeah, so I don't know. But I think, I don't know how you feel, after the nerfs that have come through in the last week, I actually think she's relatively balanced. She's not that far off. I just have the issue with the ult as a support feels too strong. That's it. If they can somehow balance that out, then I like the concept a lot. She's a lot of fun. We didn't really talk about the model or the voice line stuff. But first of all, the voice line stuff is amazing. It's whistling. That's very cool. And I actually... My chat was telling me that it was definitely a real person whistling. It's not like some robotic thing, which you would have been perfect for, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I imagine being a voice actor asking to come in and being paid, like, I don't know, like, let's just say 50K to come whistle. That's quite the job.
I bet it's a fun day at work, actually, to do something different like that. It's probably fun. All right, we can talk about the model real quick, because you know I have a pretty clear opinion about things like that.
Yeah.
I don't really like the model in Dota. Just like I didn't like the Dragon Knight persona.
But you like
Dawnbreaker.
For the
same reason. It's not because I don't like the art style inherently. I like this art style. I don't mind that it's cartoony, but it doesn't fit in Dota because it doesn't fit the universe. That's just my opinion on that. Like,
okay.
It's really simple. You look at all the other hero designs, the graphics made around them, the graphics of the items, of the map. This feels like you're taking cartoony heroes and placing them into a world that's meant to be more quote-unquote realistic than cartoon style, right? So they immediately stand out and feels a little bit off. It's not like it ruins my immersion or I hate the game when these heroes are in it. It's not like that, but I just feel like you could have... I know you want to pay adieu to the anime and there's supposed to be like some sort of consistency between the two somehow, but I still think you could have achieved that and still have the heroes look more Dota and less, like, to make it simple, less League, right? These heroes look more League of Legends like because that is a more cartoony game, and I still feel like, yeah, you could have done a little bit of a better job with that.
I don't 100% disagree, but I don't mind it at the same time. I understand it's more cartoony. It doesn't go to the League extreme, I don't think. And the fact that there was an anime that looked exactly like them, I think that's... I actually disagree with your take on... If they're taking something from the anime, this is a pretty good job that they've done. It's going to be cartoony. Like, there's no way
around
that.
Well, does it have to, though, is the question.
Well, unless you just change it drastically. I don't think there's a way.
Don't you think you could maintain, like, the... How to say... So to give you an example, let's say Dragon Knight, right? The Dragon Knight persona. The dragon looks fucking awesome in Dota.
Does it? It looks cartoony.
From Dragon Knight. No, the dragon from Dragon Knight's persona is amazing, isn't it? Am I mistaking this for another dragon? Doesn't that one look really good in Dota?
It looks like
the
Dragon
Knight dragon looks great
to me.
It's the one we're on the same page, right, with the Marcy hero. Yeah, I think the dragon looks cool, and I think that looks very Dota-like to me.
Okay, I think it looks anime, actually. I think it looks very
But I guess
anime.
It's just inherently by being a monster like that and not a human-style character that...
Right, that's the big difference.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I think to an extent we're on the same page that none of us is really bothered by this, but that's like my main criticism of the design is that I feel like these heroes... could have had more of a nudge in the Dota direction.
So,
and I also agree that they're not fully League. But if you were to do like a slider, if you were to do like a slider from the most League hero in terms of like really cartoony to the most Dota hero in terms of like really, you know, raw and like more rough, I guess, around the edges, then I think Marcy is probably, if 10 is the most Dota hero and 1 is the most League hero, it's probably a 3 for me.
Okay.
It's like, it's very much in that cartoony direction.
We disagree a bit on this, just not by a whole lot, but I know we also disagree a bit on the Dawnbreaker and even Mars models, which I find to be more mobile hero. Like, I think that's too much like a mobile hero in Dota that doesn't fit as much. Again, it doesn't ruin my... Okay, the one thing that does ruin my fucking... immersion is the voice line of Dawnbreaker, just because it's from that one show, Castlevania. But anyway,
the voice actor itself, yeah,
it's not just, it's literally the exact same character. Like, why not change? Anyway,
okay. So yeah, let me just do one quick question here. Which hero styles do you like more? Is it Mars Dawn or is it Marcy Dragon Knight in Dota? Which ones do you think fit better? Of those two pairs.
Both equally don't fit, I guess.
Okay.
Now, having said that, I don't hate them by any means, but I would still, for the next model, would like to have something darker. I would like a Shadow Fiend type creature.
A monster. We need monster hero.
I want something dark and not cartoony. Maybe something Heroes of New Earthy. How about Balfagor, Cinder? Go Google that. Just some fat, disgusting mess oozing everywhere. That would be great.
I think model wise, out of the last 10 hero releases, the coolest Dota hero released artwork, voice line, and everything is probably Grimstroke.
Ah,
he's really fucking cool.
Everything about Grimstroke was great, except his face. What a shitty ass face design that is.
Yeah, honestly. But right, isn't that the point? He's supposed to be like that.
They could have made it not look like a PL with a Mask of Madness on, okay? They had so many other options. But like the concept of the hero is amazing. The paintbrush shit, incredible. I agree for most of it. Okay, so I think I want to talk about Ags and Shard, but is there anything else about Marcy we should talk about? The talents were rearranged a bit.
Oh, yeah, the other talents.
So the 25 talent is now the spell immunity with the third skill, and it now dispels.
And the spell immunity is 1.5, right?
Yeah, so it's not very long, but can be very strong in certain scenarios, obviously. So it's almost like having like a Legion shard now, essentially, right? With the level 25 talent. So, yeah. Anything else about the talents before we talk about Ag shards? Or the hero itself?
I think
this is another part that contributed to Marcy, especially on release, but let's just look at the talents now, still being, in my opinion, a really good hero, is that I think all of the talent lines just have really powerful stuff. You talked about the mana region level 10. If you don't need it in the game, you can take 5 armor, which is inherently just a really strong level 10 talent, 5 armor. Yeah. For a hero that needs to go in, no matter what role it plays, it's a lot of EHP that you just get for free, essentially. Then her level 15 line, 200 rebound cast slash jump range, which is both, right? Effectively gives you 400 more initiation range and 400 more disengage range. That's an insane talent. The other one is half a second of dispose. From what I've seen, no one takes the stun. It's just
the funny thing
too
is,
good to have the range.
It was 0.75 and no one was still taking, and then it was nerfed to 0.5. That was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the rebound taunt is too good.
Yeah, I agree.
It should be 100 or 150 or something. It really transforms the hero to hit level 15. You get so much more mobility and options in fights. Then level 20 is 30 move speed or 25% sidekick lifesteal. That's probably the weakest line, actually, of the four relative to when you get it. So, yeah, especially her 15 talent. I think her 15 talent is the best one she has. Everyone was so focused on the BKB sidekick, and I get it, and it was on level 20. I actually think overall, from a macro perspective in the game, I think the level 15 talent is actually still better than the old level 20 sidekick talent. Because of the time you get it and how much it does for building the rest of the game, I think that was really strong. But I'm obviously happy with the sidekick being moved because it was still too good as a 20 talent. But yeah,
and then the other 25 talent is 1.5 second silence with your ult, right? When the
every
pulse goes off.
Yeah.
And your disarm time is 1.75. So that's 0.25 seconds to cast something if you're not bashed. If you get a bash, then you're stuck there, essentially. okay. Have you thought at all about Ags and Shards on this here? Because I have.
I haven't really. No.
Okay,
well, let's
I'll
do your
ideas
I'll
give
first,
you my
and
idea.
I'll tell you how bad they are.
I'm going to give you the first two that I don't like.
Okay.
I don't think
Wait,
they
how many
be.
Ideas do you have?
I have one for each skill.
Okay. Wow.
Well, not... Okay. I have a something for each skill. It's not always an Ags or a Shard, okay?
Okay.
So this one would be very bad as a Shard. Not bad as in it wouldn't be good. I think it should not be in the game. A Shard for Dispose to allow you to use it on magic immune enemies.
Yeah.
It's boring. It can be broken in some scenarios and can be useless in others. Don't like it. Second one, also don't like it. Again, Shard. Rebound, when you're bouncing, it stuns. Just like a dissimilate from like
that
a 25-pound
ultra
void
broken.
Spirit.
Well, depending on the stun duration.
Right. But. Don't like it. Regardless of numbers, I don't like the concept of that one. Okay.
Right. Same.
So now let's get to the Ags and Shard. I'm trying to remember what my Ags was, actually. Shit. I'll think of it in a second. Oh, no, this one is the Ags. Sidekick. So this one is more catered like a Dawnbreaker Ags, where it's more supporty, okay? Tell me how strong this is. Keep in mind, supports are not going to get level 25, so that like BKB part is not really going to come into play very much. Sidekick works on everybody in your area as an Aghanim Scepter.
As a Scepter?
Yeah, 4,200 gold. You double-click yourself. Up to four other heroes around you in 900 AoE get the ability. That's my Ags. I think it's actually kind of balanced, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how good that actually is, even. Because, like, it sounds insane on paper, but then you think about how lineups are constructed, right? Like, how many allies are you going to have that for those 6 seconds they have sidekick, draw a true benefit from it? And you're paying 4,200 gold to only buff them. It does nothing extra to you that you didn't already have. I feel like in some lineups that would be good. I just inherently don't think I would even buy it when you say it, when you presented it. I wasn't like, damn, I would buy that as a support, because I'd be looking at, okay, do I have a lineup where I need at least one extra hero in my lineup to really benefit from sidekick to feel good about getting that item, maybe even two. And how often will I have that where they use it? So I don't know.
Keep in mind, when you're late game as a core and you pick up an Ags, it could also have great benefit. It's really good for building, pushing, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's good for siege. But so I agree, it's situational. You remember the old Underlord Ags, right? The one that gave the aura?
Oh, man, that was broken.
Where half of your damage went to teammates? Almost nobody bought that, and that was insane for pushing.
So good. I love that.
And that one still didn't...
Keep in mind, guys, so for like Hoodwink and some other of these heroes that we predicted for, like there's no way we can predict or we're even going to try to predict like a new skill or anything like that. We're just assuming that these four skills are what we have to choose from. We did get...
I have an idea for a new skill for the Ags, actually.
Okay, we'll get to that then.
Okay.
Because I'm not done yet. Okay. Yeah. This is Shard for Unleash. Okay?
Okay.
So...
Please don't make this spell better.
it's going to get better. I'm trying to figure out a way to make this balance because they keep changing the timers here. Mm-hmm. I think you get Shard... It's not good enough. Okay, the main aspect of this is that it hard dispels, and you can use it while stunned. Okay, that's the main part of the Shard.
Okay.
But it needs something on top of that, and I was trying to think maybe less of a disarm time, but I don't really like that. Maybe you can just increase the pulse damage, something generic, like some additive bonus that's already there, but the biggest part of it is it. You can use it while stunned. So it's situational.
But a lot of the time, yeah, I don't know how strong that actually is.
I don't think it's broken at all.
It's 1,400 gold. It's really good against certain lineups, right? Where you're prone to getting jumped, and then you can instantly counterplay. I don't really like that from the perspective of how interesting it is to play and play against. It just feels like really good, but not innovative, right?
Well, so having said that, you can go through a lot of Ags and Shards that are not innovative. We're not trying to be innovative. Mm-hmm. I'm saying what I think they would might put in the game, and I think would be fine to put in, and this is one of them. Okay, what's your Ags?
Okay. My Aghanim Scepter is called Dumpster. You place a garbage truck, and then if you toss an enemy into it with dispose, they die. What do you think?
Wow. Sounds like techies. That's incredible. Just an incredible mind for this kind of thing. The fact that Ice Frog asks you for advice on patches and not me after what you just said, really looking forward to the future.
Yeah,
Dota
it's been 2. A while since I was asked. So,
okay. Well, he's obviously watching the podcast.
Well, let me think. So I think out of all of your shard suggestions,
yeah,
I think the Ultra one was the best. But I feel like for this hero...
Do you think it's going to end up being a new skill?
I don't want either the shard or the Ags to be on the ult. With the way the ult works right now, like even though you said, even your example of the shard doesn't feel, how to say, even though it might not feel overpowered or whatever, just in theory, I think such a huge part of this hero is the ult that I would rather that something else becomes a little more integral.
I mean, stuff they've done in the past is taken a talent that they've already put in and apply it as a shard and then just, you know, redistribute it to something else. So there's a million things they can do. Those are the ones that I thought of.
You could make the shard give sidekick a basic dispel. Then you can target yourself and an ally and remove slows. You could target an ally to remove silence from them.
That's a talent already, right?
No, the talent is 25 BKB plus dispel, right?
Yeah.
You could technically remove that talent and make it a shard that is weaker. Because I think if you made this shard the current talent, shard would be way too good, right?
I'm going to say there's a 0% chance they do that just because Legion shard is literally that. Unless they redesign Legion.
No, Legion shard is totally different.
What do you mean? It's the...
Legion shard gives an ally magic immunity. I wouldn't want it to do that. I want it to apply a basic dispel on both you and the target.
That's
no BKB.
It's close enough to Legion that I don't think they're going to do it. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. not exactly the same, but okay.
What if with a shard like Void Shard, when you rebound in, you can bounce back? And then if you have placed a dumpster and you land in the dumpster,
God,
you get to shoot yourself out of the dumpster like a cannonball. And then when you land on impact, you stun, you activate Unleash, and then you vacuum the enemy team together to you. What do you think?
I stopped listening halfway through. How about Unleash, your favorite skill, with Shard? If you get a kill, it refreshes the entire duration of the ability, Cinder.
Yes! Yes, I love it. I love it.
Excellent.
That would be so fun.
We talked about Marcy for about 40 minutes. That's impressive. Okay.
Good job.
Let's talk about other things. So 7.30e came out. Is there anything that you wanted to highlight concerning this patch? A lot of little changes here and there.
Yeah, I'll go over the ones that I think are most important. So first of all, I always look at the general updates. So small camps XP reduced by 10%. Apparently this was bugged for a little while with one camp, but that's fixed. So a little bit less experience for primarily supports, actually, from that. Usually the ones pulling it early on, and then later, obviously, for the carries that will just farm them on rotation. So a little bit of a slowdown of the game. I would like it to be more. That's no secret. As far as items go, big changes. Echo Saber got one more second cooldown. So at TI, if you guys didn't watch or didn't pay too much attention to carry builds, there were a lot of heroes that would go Echo Saber and Silver Edge. These two items in combination were really powerful for insane burst damage for a lot of cores. So nerf on that. Fey Grenade no longer applies to your attack damage. Thank the fucking god. I didn't like this design at all. I'm happy to see the change. It now applies a stronger damage over time ability, but does not use your attack damage. That is very good.
It's now garbage.
This was stupidly broken on Earthstreaker.
But now it's garbage, yes?
And stupidly broken on Morph when you were in the team with Earthshaker.
Yes.
I still don't think this is garbage. I think it's pretty good.
I know. I knew
you. Gives you 20 move speed. It gives you targeted vision of the enemy hero for a really long time. It applies damage over time.
The only thing it does that's really good that no other item does basically now is it procs Lincolns.
Yeah, that should actually got removed too.
Yeah, then it's garbage.
Then you can buff it some other way if you think that's the primary benefit to it. But I don't like that a tier 2 neutral item can break Lincolns. They removed it on the higher items, which I find really interesting. So like some of the tier Psychic 4 items headband. And tier 3 items no longer break Lincolns, but level tier 2 item Fey Grenade does. It almost feels like they just forgot, like no joke. It's just, I find it weird.
I mean, if you want a Lincoln's Breaker, you got to use a piece of shit item. How about that?
Yeah, but it's not that bad, Shannon. It's really not that bad.
Okay. Cancels.
Okay. What else do we have? Minor nerf to Helm of Iron Will. This item was insanely popular. It still is. I still think it's too good for what it costs.
Let's talk about the big boys here, Sindarin. Tiny.
Yeah.
Lycan. Magnus. Go ahead.
Okay, so not the rest of the items?
No. Kids gives a shit about the items.
Okay.
You're talking about Helm of the Overlord that got 100 gold increase in recipe. We're not going to spend an hour and a half on this little patch.
No, we didn't need to. I was almost done, Shane. That's fine.
All right, continue.
All right, Shadowblade and Silver Edge got nerfed quite a lot. Let's move on. big hero nerfs. Which hero got hit the hardest, actually? I think Elder Titan, actually.
Okay.
Quite possibly got the biggest nerf. So this hero was the most picked hero at TI. Very potent laner as a support, but can also be played core. And Elder Titan lost. So what did he lose? He lost movement speed on early levels of Astral Spirit. It's better on level 4. He lost a lot of bonus damage on early levels. It's the same on level 4. And he lost vision range on the Astral Spirit. He's a clearly weaker laner now, which I think is fair. He was just super powerful before, and he's still strong, but not as ridiculous. Mm. What else do we have? 0.1 cast time on Activate Fire Remnant for Ember is maybe a more significant nerf than you would think. Lycan Scepter got nerfed. That was the only change to the hero, was Wolfbite. It has a longer cooldown now. And the targets you bite have a fixed 150 attack range. So you don't have these heroes that are bitten and then just hit from range.
How does that work with tiny? Like tiny. Is it?
Yeah. Horn toss nerf from Magnus. No big surprise.
What was the range on tiny nerf before?
Huh? Sorry?
What was the range on tiny with this before?
His own attack range with a tree, I think.
Because I know because that when you get this, melee. When you get this in ability draft, or was it ARD? I can't remember what mode it was. It would work to the point where it was always 150 attack range. It would screw you over a lot of the times.
Oh.
But I don't know why it would work on Tiny and some other heroes in the game. Anyway.
I guess the way it worked is that if you cast it on a ranged hero, they become melee. But if you cast it on a melee hero, they remain melee with their melee attack range, which would be Monkey King and Tiny, right? I think. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And Doom. That's slightly right. Or whatever. Yeah, so Magnus, Horn Toss no longer stuns, so you can BKB, which is a huge nerf. Mm-hmm. And Skewer has shorter range, and the Skewer talent with range also is shorter. Monkey King got multiple nerfs, also a very favorite here at TI. He lost some move speed, he lost a bit of cooldowns on Boundless Dragon Primal Spring. Omni Knight Dejan Aura got buffed and he got an armor. Whoop the fucking do. Really cool. Dejan Aura will eventually maybe be skilled, which is cool because they released a Crimson Trophy or Crimson Witness item that changes the Dejan Aura and nobody was skilling the skills. So you couldn't even see it. Pudge's Hook got a lot cheaper.
Do you think Omni Knight should be redesigned? Get rid of Dejan Aura? Just redesign him from the ground up.
I actually like the idea that he has Dejan Aura. I just think it's been outpaced by the game. Mm-hmm. This skill used to be really powerful, actually, once upon a time. And there's many things... Jesus Christ. There's many things you could do.
Do you remember the Dota 1 days? Omni Knight mid, you go S and Y, you maim everybody, you just win the game. Those were interesting days.
You could imagine a lot of ways to make Dejan Aura powerful, right, if you wanted to. It used to slow attack speed for a while. That was removed.
That's true. Yeah.
What if it slowed a little bit similar to time dilation, that it could have like a small factor of that where cooldowns come back slower when you're in Dejan Aura, or it could slow spell casting speed. Since you've already introduced all these concepts into the game, you could put them on Omni Knight's aura if you wanted it to be strong. The biggest problem with this hero in general with Dejan Aura is that he's played almost exclusively as a support, and he's a backline support, not a frontline support. Even though he's a knight, he doesn't frontline because he exposes himself to getting silenced and killed, and then he can't save his allies. So why do you have an aura around you for a hero that never goes in? Right? That's why people don't skill it. It's just because... It's not because the move speed slow isn't good. It's because you can't afford to stand like that as a support.
I mean, he has the same issue that other heroes have, like Legion and Abaddon to some degree, where it's just as hard to spell. That's the reason they're picked still. So their other skills aren't nearly as important. So if you have a skill like Degen, it makes sense that would literally never be skilled, right?
I think the Abaddon comparison is actually really good here because Abaddon has Curse of Avernus, right? Where you're a support. Do you really want to go in and hit stuff in fights? But the reason Curse of Avernus has value is that A, in lane, sometimes when you're facing specific lanes with melee heroes, it's actually really good for trading. B, when you're doing anything that's not a team fight, Curse of Avernus does something. It helps you with farming speed. It helps you with killing Roche. Helps you with taking towers for your team. So it has like, it has these moments that it's good. Omni Knight's aura is literally only good if you're next to enemy heroes and you are ahead in the fight and need to slow them. Like, how often does that happen for a support? It just never happens.
This isn't the same.
And if you're skilling this in lane for the trading aspect, then the 10% or now 14% aura slow on level 1 is very, very rarely better than having one more point in one of your other skills so you trade better anyway. So it just doesn't feel good to take it.
New
support,
skill,
really.
Center. You don't need Degen Aura anymore. Just
if you give him
it.
A new skill that's good, this hero will be first pick. Like, that's the thing. He's okay. So good with this being a dead spell. Think about it. This is a dead spell, and the hero is still considered.
Right.
So, if you're redesigning him, I think it's a relatively large overhaul.
I mean,
I'm okay with him having an aura, even
look
as
at
a
Legion.
Support
Legion
hero,
is picked.
Make it feel better than
if Legion had one ability. One ability. What ability would that be, Sindarin?
Moment of courage.
Incorrect. Press the attack is the correct answer. Let's say you delete three other skills. Do you think there's any games where she would be picked? She'd be considered at least because you're banning Abaddon, you're banning Omni Knight, and that's the last one that aren't dispels. Like, overwhelming odds is fucking awful. Her passive, generally, you're not really using it to its full capacity because she's not doing anything with it because she's sitting behind you waiting to press the attack. Like, the issue with these heroes is, you're right, Abaddon is the exception because he does so many other things really well. You know, he can heal on command. His ult has amazing fucking capability in team fights. Like, it makes him invulnerable, essentially. He doesn't die. He can frontline. He can push towers and all this bullshit. So he is an exception to the rule here, where Omni Knight and LC are just literally picked for one fucking thing, which is a hard to spell.
Omni is also largely picked for the ult, though, to be fair.
Largely?
Yeah.
Largely?
Yeah. I don't think... Okay, let me say it this way. If... Apart from the patch when people would literally first pick the hero because the second spell was that busted, I think now, after it got nerfed, you don't only pick Omni Knight for the hard dispel. You think about whether it's a good game to have Guardian Angel, I think. Which is good, because it's his ulti and it should matter for your decision of picking the hero.
Well, the other thing is...
But yeah, Dejanora's just still...
Legion is a three a lot of the times, right? So it's also positional things for laning specifically, so... But
think about this for a second. Like, let's say you're playing three Omni Knight. I played it the other day. I got 1 point in Dejanora at level 4 so that I could maybe stick on an enemy core in lane. And then I skilled it on level 2 and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or, well, I leveled it up later when I had maxed my other spells. And I was like, I should have gone stats. So yeah. I kept Dejanora level 2 and then I went stats anyway. That was as a 3. But even when you play Omni as a 3, he's still a supportive type hero. He just doesn't work as a carry compared to other heroes, so it just feels like there's no incentive to skill this. Like, I was a pretty farmed 3, and I was going, what did I go? I went, like, Lens, Lotus, and items like that, right? Because that's what your hero does.
So, and his shard is awful as well.
Yeah, like, it's like the shard is trying to make you, like, some sort of pseudo core, but this doesn't really work. Yeah, I don't know. Right. If you want to take him that direction, if you make him good enough as a core, Dejanora will matter, right?
Well, that's, I don't know how we got stuck on Omni Knight Syndrome. I'm gonna blame you for this one.
Yep, you love that shit.
Spectre Ags cooldown from 30 to 40, so that was definitely needed.
It needs more, maybe even.
I was expecting it to be more, but I mean, I like the idea of them not like mega nerfing something that was really good at TI, because they know that things are going to change a lot with these small changes anyway.
Then tiny lost damage on tree throw, especially the splash that it does when you throw the tree, went from 200% to 40, 60, 80, 100. That's a big nerf. He has less damage to buildings, and his level 15 talent that was bugged is now fixed and nerfed. So this was the only known bug at TI, and it didn't get hotfixed, which was his level 15 talent that was supposed to give 15% tree grab unit damage actually gave 30 the whole event. So it was twice as good as the tooltip said. And now it was changed to 20. So now it's actually better than what the tooltip said, but worse than how it worked at TI.
Right.
So... clearly a big nerf to Tiny as well. Tiny got hit really hard with this. He's not nearly as popular right now. And it's a combination of things. And this is where balancing games like this is really hard, because Tiny doesn't feel a lot worse because of the hero nerfs. He feels a lot worse because of the hero nerfs and Echo Saber and Silver Edge being nerfed. It was all of the stuff that he did at TI is nerfed. Satanic is nerfed. Everything Tiny wants got worse.
Yeah.
So... as a result, he's very much worse. I think his win rate dropped like 5%, which is enormous in pubs. So, he's not very favored anymore and might need to bump up again. But it's always hard to predict just how much it matters when you nerf the hero and its favorite items. But a good rule of thumb, I would say, is if the cookie cutter build that makes the hero strong gets nerfed, the hero itself might not need many changes.
I know people get very enamored with like these one or two or three heroes that are just picked so much at these tournaments, and they want them mega mm-hmm. nerfed. And I thought Tiny got over nerfed in this patch just because of what
I think
you said.
He's over nerfed too.
Like, if you just fix the bug that was the tooltip thing, and you do all the items, that's probably enough, honestly.
Probably.
But they just went real ham because they know that. I mean, part of it is you're balancing for perception as well, right?
Yes.
Like, people aren't going to be happy with that necessarily. Like, oh, Tiny didn't get nerfed. But I feel like they went a little too ham on this one, personally.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the shuffle, Cinderin. We got some interesting additions here. Some of them are rumors, but we'll talk about them each the same here. So first and foremost, let's talk about the confirmed stuff. Zai is leaving Team Secret and joining Team Liquid, position to be announced, but it is rumored as position 4. Your thoughts on that? This is really surprising. Obviously, we don't know the rest of the Liquid lineup, if anything's changing other than whatever position he's taking.
Right.
But considering, obviously, good friends with Puppy, has been on Secret for quite a while. They've had very good showings at a lot of tournaments, including TI. I'm really surprised by this.
Based on the statements that Team Secret posted, it sounded like Zai left.
Yes, that's what it sounded like.
Not that he was kicked, and not that he was... Nor that he was kicked because they thought he underperformed, or that they had a better candidate or whatever, but he just wants to do something else. So it's his choice from what I can tell. It's exciting stuff. I think the new Liquid roster will be really interesting to see. Obviously, we only know Zai is joining. There might be like big changes coming about with other players being swapped out. But I think he will fit well into that team culture. And I think it's a really big thing for the org to get. To get a superstar player, right? I think Liquid's roster recently, since the Kuro team. Having the Alliance or ex-Alliance roster picking them up was like a, you know, it's a team with potential, but that hasn't got those big results that they want to nurture. But now they have like a true like star player in the roster, which is obviously really powerful. So I think it's a really great grab for them. And I think Zai is going to be a good fit because, in my opinion, Zai, if I were to build my dream team, he would probably be in it just because to me, he's like, almost the perfect player for a team. He has a great personality. He's very, very skilled. He can play multiple different styles, different roles. And it's just, you know, has very good game understanding. So I think that's a huge pickup, no matter what role they put him on, honestly.
Agreed.
That's great.
All right, let's talk about Alliance. So some of this is unconfirmed. Two things I think are confirmed is Nico Baby is staying as position 1. And Lelis, who is on Quincy Crew, will be position 3.
That's confirmed?
That is confirmed. I was watching his stream and he said it himself. That is confirmed. I think that Hanskin is confirmed as well as 5. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but I think so. Yeah. And then the rumored ones are Weehaw as mid and Soxa, who was on OG, as far as a reunion for Weehaw and Soxa potentially. That would be a very interesting lineup indeed, Cinderin. Your thoughts on that potential lineup?
I could see it. Honestly, I think a lot of the rosters that are going to come about now, it's hard to predict, really, or have a strong opinion. Like, all of the players are very, very skilled. I think the big question mark for a lot of people is Weehaw. Like, how good is he going to be? He has been great in the past, and then he kind of had a fall from grace until he took his break. Was just not looking very good on Nygma. I think if he is coming back and starts playing competitively, I think he's really hungry for it because he took a long break and he has a lot to prove. And I think in terms of play styles, he's a good mid to play along with Nico Baby, I think. It would allow Nico to go a little bit in a slightly greedier direction. Nico is known for playing aggressively as a carry, and I think for Alliance to have like some more balance in their strategy and in their lineup, having a little more of a crazy mid might be good not so that Nico Baby can go AFK and farm jungle, but so that there's more of a First of all, there would be more of a tandem for him to play with the mid, because I think Limp inherently is a kind of greedy mid laner compared to Weeha. I'm sure you would agree with that. Mm. So if you play Weeha and Nico Baby together, they can make aggressive moves as a core duo. Or in the right strategy, they can make Nico Baby the true one, and we can really make space. He knows how to make space, that's for sure. So I think that's interesting. And both Lelis and Sox I hold in very high regard in terms of players. They're very, very skilled. Yeah, there's a lot of rumors here. Wow.
Yeah, we won't go through all of them. If Weeha is indeed going to Alliance, definitely going to have him as a guest on the pod. He promised me he would come on, but he has yet to do so. All right, this one, again, the rest of these are unconfirmed. EG, originally I heard there's not going to be any changes, so I don't know how much to believe into this, but we have the Arteezy, Abed, so nothing changed there, and then Nightfall offlane, Jerax out of retirement 4, Crit position 5, so that means Fly is gone, Ice is gone.
So out of all unconfirmed rumors, I believe this one the least. Like, same. No fucking way, dude. Same. Like, what is this? There is no way.
This one is really random.
Dude, imagine this is true. I would actually be so... I would be shocked. I don't get shocked very often, but this would really, really be surprising for me.
Agreed.
It's like, no way. I actually think with the current roster, the most likely thing to happen would be that Abed leaves, not gets kicked, that he leaves because he wants to go back to SEA, which could be a thing, and also the same for Ice, right? That both of those players would want to go home and play in the region that they come from. They've done, you know, they've done a stint in NA now, they've played there for a season or two. Maybe that wasn't it for them. They want to be closer to home when they practice, when they etc. I find that to be more likely. I think Arteezy staying is very, very likely. He's kind of, you know, the household player for EG. And I think Crit is definitely staying too.
Were Crit and Jerax...
I also think Fly would stay, but...
Were they teammates on OG at some point? Were they teammates on any team at any point?
Who, sorry? Crit and...
Jerax and Crit. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think so. No.
Were they not... OG, the original OG, that was Fly still on that team then.
The original OG was Fly and Crit, and then... when they swapped out, that's when they grabbed Jerax, right?
Oh. That would be cool to have Jerax and Crit on the same team.
I would be shocked, man.
I would be too. But and with a team like that, if this were to be true, I don't know who the fuck the captain is. Like, first of all, Nightfall is the offlane. It's hilarious. That's like even more random.
He could be the captain. He talks a lot and shot calls a lot.
Okay. That's something I didn't know, but that an offlaner as your captain hasn't worked out all too often. No. Jerax and Crit, both pretty soft-spoken guys. But yeah, we'll see. Okay, next rumor. Team Secret. Nisha, Sumail, Ice, Yapzor, Puppy. That sounds like...
I think Sumail is very likely. Okay. If OG make changes, I guess OG is going through massive change, right? Seb has confirmed he's retired. Thompson was talking about taking at least an extended break after TI10, if not quitting. I don't know if No Tail also wants to take a break. But yeah, Sumail leaving that team with what is happening around it would make a lot of sense. I think he would be a great fit for Secret. What is the replacement here then? So he would be swapping out for Matu in that case.
Yeah.
Because Nisha would go to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ice offlane. Again, If the idea for Ice of leaving EG, if that were to be the case, I still think he would be likely to go to SEA rather than this. But
it would be so funny.
I find this believable, though. I do find it believable.
This one looks more in line.
It looks more believable. I wonder what Matu would do. Did he say he wanted to take a break after TI?
I don't know. I would find it hilarious if he joined Team Nigma. Would you not laugh out loud if that happened? That would be so funny.
That would be pretty funny. But at the same time, honestly, sometimes that's how it is, right?
Yeah.
It's like with a relationship and you break up and you go your separate ways and then you realize, okay, you know, like what we had was actually really good and we didn't cherish it enough.
You know? I hated you for like 1 year, you know, just and you came back.
I mean, they didn't hate each other. That was the thing. It was a really difficult decision.
I said, I hated you. I was trying to make a joke.
This is why you hated me. Because I don't get jokes. I'm not funny.
That's true. Thank you. Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other rumors on here that are interesting? Cloud9 might be making a return. That one is surprising in and of itself because I know for a fact that they are almost certainly not interested in Dota after getting burned so many times. But that could be in part because they keep hooking up with Eternal Envy over and over for some reason.
Jesus.
This one is rumored to be Fly and Quinn on the same team. Who knows if that's true.
I heard a rumor about Quinn mid for EG as well, though.
Okay. But yeah.
The rumors are aplenty right now. I think this one, to me, is also believable. And it would be great to have another... Like, if we could have four good NA teams this season somehow, that would be cool. Like, Undying are staying together, which is confirmed. EG. Then if SVG makes a new team... And if Fly makes a new team, then all of a sudden we actually have four teams. And then it's about leadership in EG that I'm mainly curious about. If Fly leaves, who they get.
Okay.
But that, that could make NA more competitive at the top this year, actually.
Quincy Crew are rebuilding in some fassion. We have no idea what it is, but I would assume Quincy's LOA building. Slash SVG, whatever you want to call him, will be the captain still, which I do believe in him. I think he's really good. MSS, he was looking for a team, so I assume he will not be a part of that team anymore. You never know this kind of thing. But yeah, NA is a complete dog shit show. I'm just going to combine two things there. So hopefully people can get their shit together because this region is a joke right now. Okay. So with that, I guess we'll just, since we're a little over time, we'll just talk about this last topic and we'll bid everybody adieu. I made a blog post about the Dota 2 tooltips that Buka and I were a part of for TI10. You can check out the blog post in the description of the video. I'll put it down there. We got great reaction from everybody. Obviously, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I want to talk about numbers here, Sundar, because we actually have numbers here.
This is so insane.
So we combined the regular, because we had to make, I say we, Buka had to make a separate extension for TI, right? And so we combined the stats of that for that the week during TI plus that same week for the regular streams, like, you know, the Gorks and the Bulldogs and whoever else was streaming. Right. The amount of unique viewers that we had was 16.6 million. The amount of mouse clicks we had was 198 million. And the amount of mouse hovers, so hovering over a tooltip, 883 million. That is in fucking sane. I was not. I remember we were at TI because Buka made the trip and we hung out a lot. And he had to, every day, had to like double the amount of servers that we had because things were crashing constantly. The good thing about the Twitch extensions is when it crashes, it's not like it breaks the stream, it's just the hovering doesn't work. For the time being, it just comes back and forth, up and down, up and down. So when it's like having issues, it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, had to spend a lot of money on servers like that. So very cool to see people
get Shannon, to I have a trivia question for you.
Oh boy.
You're not very good at math, so this is gonna work as a trivia question effectively.
Okay.
How many times did the average person mouse hover in anything on the streams?
Out of the unique viewers?
Yeah.
It's 883 million divided by 16.6 million.
Yes.
I'm going to say 50.
That's pretty close, actually. 53.
Oh, yes.
53.15.
Yes. God, I'm good. NA math.
So... That's pretty interesting, right? Because when you consider that a lot of people don't use the functionality, but they're still a viewer, right? They're a viewer, but they're just watching on their TV or whatever. The people that actively use this must have used it a lot. That's obviously a really great look, right? Because you could imagine like people would mouse over an item or two or a spell or two. They're like, oh, what's this? Like, I play Dota, but I forgot, or I don't know this. And then you check that one thing. People must have been checking a lot of things a lot of the time. So... That means that it's being used very actively, and that's obviously awesome to see.
So we're trying to... I guess the last part of this is we've agreed between me and Buka that we're going to keep it free for regular streamers like yourself, Sindarin.
Yay!
Because originally we came with the idea, we're like, okay, we got to make money somehow. So maybe we'll charge like the higher end streamers a little bit, like a monthly fee or something like that. But it doesn't sound like something that would make sense for anybody really. So we're going to keep it free for everybody except for tournaments. So we're going to continue to try to pitch to tournaments to try to get them to buy the license. So if you guys see a tournament not running the extension, perhaps let them know. They should contact SunsFan at sunsfan.tv. I don't know where that came from for the extension license. Okay, so that is the end of the episode, Cinderman. It was a long one. We talked about Marcy for a good 45 minutes. Hopefully you all enjoyed.
What 45 minutes they were, huh?
They were great. They truly were. Yes. We'll see if Valve's watching, because we'll know what the Ags and Shard will be in about 3 months, which will be when our next episode is. Just kidding. Did you have a good Halloween, by the way? You guys celebrate?
We were inside, and our doorbell was rung 3 times, I think.
It's about the same as us. Nikki was depressed because we went to the grocery store and got a shit ton of candy. And by the way, I only get the best of the best. I hate going to, like, when I was a kid, I would go to these houses and sometimes they would just give away absolute dog shit. A lot of people don't know what good candy is. In America, Milky Way is garbage, okay? You don't put candy corn in people's fucking bags. We get the best of the best, Cinderin. Snickers, Butterfinger, yes. Reese's Pieces.
Oh, Reese's Pieces are so overrated, Shannon.
Butterfinger. All of those combine into the greatest candy possible. And we have only a couple bags of York peppermint patties because it's like an RNG factor. It's like an ultra rare mint chocolate in there with the Butterfinger and the Snickers. So we distribute it correctly and very nicely. So we have all these bags and like four sets of kids came, and Nikki was very upset because she likes giving candy away to kids.
You should, next Halloween, you should give them loot boxes.
I was thinking about that too, because
just random candy, you just assort it into boxes.
It is trick or treat.
Then you control the market.
There should be some RNG to trick or treat.
That's a good suggestion from chat. Why? What if you gave them candy NFTs?
Wow, that's a real moneymaker right there. Not a scam at all.
Could you imagine you're like some 7-year-old out trick-or-treating? Just give you a fucking NFC.
Oh, boy. God, that's really good. We're going to get a lot of comments about people that love NFTs that were talking shit. Anyway, so you only gave away... Wait, what did you buy for the kids?
Just some... What was it? A mixed... So, you know, a mixed bag with small plastic bags of like various wine gums and I think was there...
Did you say
sweet
wine
sour candy
gums?
Wine gums, right? What do you call them?
Wine gums?
Aren't they called wine gums? Hello?
What the... Spell it.
Like you say it.
All right, I'm going to have to Google... We're continuing to record here. I need to look this up. Wine gums.
Isn't it called a wine gum?
Apparently, there's something called... Wine gums are chewy, firm... Sweets similar to gumdrops without the sugar coating, originating from the UK.
What would you call the... Okay, you know Haribo's bears, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows those. What do you call those if not wine gums?
Gummies.
Oh, gummies. Okay, well, then let's call them that.
I mean, the Undying, the hero himself, talks about vitamin gummies.
Gummy vitamins. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Wine gums. Yeah. Okay.
Now, good the good know. News for Nikki is, even if she's disappointed she bought all this candy and the kids aren't there, that means you guys have candy.
I'm eating
That's
a
the
lot
good thing.
Of it.
If yeah, you really buy good. Too much candy for Halloween, it's a luxury problem. It's candy. It doesn't really expire very easily. It's not like you buy for a party and you buy too much meat and then you're like, fuck. Or, you know?
Yeah, but the difference is, instead of just losing out on some money and having rotting meat in the fridge, you lose out on money and then... Well, I guess you don't lose out on money, but you end up costing a lot of money because you have diabetes, Cinderin. You have to go to the doctor. You have to get medication.
Then you can give the candy away to friends and family.
I can't do and that.
Make them go to the doctor instead.
Diabetes for everybody.
I don't know, man.
Anyway,
just
if you guys
spread it out, okay, don't eat all the kilos yourself. That is pounds. Sorry,
Cinderin.
Don't eat all the pounds.
One day,
of gummies.
When I am rich, okay, and maybe the podcast one day will become, you know, get to a point where I will become a rich person. My goal is to be that guy that gives away full size candy bars to kids. I want to be that house. Like, I've experienced that only a couple times as a kid.
My goal when the podcast gets really big is to mint gummy NFTs.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
If that'll get us rich, I'm willing to sell out to be able to give big king-size candy bars to kids to produce more diabetes in America. I think that's what my calling is in the end.
When I grow up, I want to be a diabetic.
All right. Anyway, thanks for watching, everybody. Suns fan and Sinner signing out. We'll be back next week, as always. Goodbye.
Bye. Subscribe.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.